The original Fear Street novels were too tame for my sixth grade self. I craved more blood, more mayhem, more murder. Something shocking. Something that pushes what can be done in YA fiction. Something with more petticoats. I preferred the spin-off series Fear Street Sagas to the original Fear Street, and it served as historical fiction. These books went into Shadyside's tumultuous past, and the infamous Fear family, starting with Fear Street Sagas number 1, A New Fear. Technically, this isn't the beginning. There's a trilogy that comes before these, but I'm not reviewing those today. Instead, I'm starting where the trilogy ends, with the newly widowed Nora Good, trapped in an insane asylum, where all good horror starts. This is rereading my childhood. Fear Street Sagas number 1, A New Fear. Nora Good married Daniel Fear, and the whole family, save Nora, died in a tragic fire. These names are not subtle. Nora claims that the fire itself was malicious. For some old-timey reason, that's enough to send a pregnant woman to an insane asylum. Back then, they threw women in asylums for being too mouthy, so this is absolutely believable. What's unbelievable is that the asylum thinks that giving an infant to a 12-year-old who is a patient is an acceptable practice. But that's what they do while they keep trying to convince Nora that the face she saw in the flames was a hallucination. She tries to escape by making a rope out of her hair, but she is caught and they cut off her hair. Eventually, the asylum plans to take her child, Nicholas, away from her and give him to a family that, quote, has agreed to pay the doctor a large sum for a male child. Nora resists, fighting orderlies that try to pull her away from her son's cradle. Just as the doctor takes Nicholas from the cradle, the amulet that Nora received as a wedding gift from Daniel glows. The fire crackled and blazed. The flames grew higher and higher. They reached past the hearth. They climbed the wall. The flames lapped greedily to the ceiling. They grew higher until all Nora could see was a wall of fire. A man emerged from the writhing flames. Daniel, Nora gasped. Her husband had come back from the grave. Come and join me, doctor, Daniel rasped. He reached past Nora and drew the doctor into the raging inferno. Screaming, the doctor fell to his knees. His eyes bulged out farther and farther. Then, with a moist pop, his eyes flew from their sockets and rolled across the floor. They hissed as flames devoured them. Well, there's the bloodlust I craved in middle school. That was what the regular Fear Street books were missing. Ridiculous body horror and talking fire ghosts. Nora escapes with Nicholas as the asylum burns down. They stow away on a boat, where Nora eats a rat to survive. That's a fun scene. She is discovered, and the crew think she's a witch. Then the boat sinks. They are adrift at sea, but eventually wash up on shore. Somehow, she still possesses the amulet. She turned it over and read the inscription, Dominatio per malum. Power through evil, Nora whispered. Your father gave this to me as a symbol of his love, Nicholas. The amulet was special to him, because it had been in his family for a long time. Nora sighed. Your father's family had power and money, but they paid a heavy price. They let evil into their lives, and it destroyed them. Nora stared down into the ocean for a long moment. I do not want that evil to be a part of your life, Nicholas. I do not want you to suffer the same fate your father did. The amulet felt heavy in her hand, heavy and warm. Nora brought her arm back and flung it into the calm sea. Relief swept through her. She hugged Nicholas. Now the fear evil cannot touch you. She stared down into her baby's face. We are going to start a new life, with new names. From now on, we will be known as Nora and Nicholas Storm. And that's how the book ends. I'm just kidding. That's just the end of part one. We get a huge time jump, 18 years. Nicholas Storm is a fisherman who hates fish. He is also a fisherman who loves a woman named Rosalind. However, they can't get married because Nicholas isn't worth enough money for Rosalind's strict father. Also, his mother, our original protagonist, Nora, dies as she's telling him about his father, her last words being, "Your father left you a legacy of..." So Nicholas goes off to find his legacy so he can someday marry Rosalind. He leaves Shadow Cove, where he was living, and what do you know, he ends up in Shadyside after a man who looks a little like him yells, "Shadyside!" and disappears, because that's how you choose where you want to go to figure out your life. You wait for a ghost that vaguely looks like you to shout a location and then you buy your ticket. Also, Rosalind gives him her good luck charm, an amulet she found on the beach, one with some Latin on the back. It's the amulet his mother threw into the ocean, if you haven't figured that one out. In Shadyside, he finds Fear Street and thinks about its strange name. He stumbles across a huge, dilapidated, burned house. The house whispers to him, so he decides to enter the house. A woman yells at him, "Daniel Fear, you're supposed to be dead!" And then she attacks him with a knife. Instead of running away and giving up his stupid quest, like any other human, he sticks around and asks her questions about the people who used to live there. She starts to cry and says that he ran off with his wife, Nora Good. That's enough for him to figure out that his mother changed her name to Nora Storm and his father is Daniel Fear. Lightning lash. "I know who I am at last," Nicholas cried over the booming thunder. "I am Daniel Fear's son." He clenched his fist. "I am Nora Good's son." He threw his head back. "I am a Fear," he shouted. "Nicholas Fear." That's what normal people do. They run into the rain and punch dance their name. But Nicholas can't move into the house. He rents a room from a woman and her daughter, a forward girl named Betsy Winter. The next day, he goes to a man, Mr. Manning, to talk about the inheritance he believes he is owed. The man laughs and tells him there is no inheritance, just a bunch of back taxes on the land. But Mr. Manning owns a sawmill and hires Nicholas so he can get back on his feet. As he is leaving, an out-of-control woman runs into him while on a bicycle. This is Ruth Manning, Mr. Manning's daughter. At the sawmill, Nicholas meets his new co-workers, a fussy little man named Jason and a friendly hulking man named Ike. Both Ruth and Betsy show up at different times while Nicholas is working to establish their overt feelings for him, and so Jason can get jealous over Ruth and be overly protective of Betsy. He is our red herring, after all. Someone throws a rock at the back of Nicholas's head with a note that he doesn't belong in Shadyside. It's hilarious, who throws rocks like that? And to hit Nicholas without killing him, the thrower would have to be the weakest person and only a few feet away, which makes me wonder why Nicholas didn't see who threw the rock. That or Nicholas has a very hard head. While fixing up his wound, Betsy reveals that she is a good, but she doesn't hate the Fears. This comes up later. At the sawmill, Ike gets his finger sliced off. Ruth expresses more interest in Nicholas, but he doesn't return her affections, and Betsy also expresses more interest in Nicholas. Later, Nicholas comes home and finds Betsy dead in the kitchen, tied up next to the stove. He noticed something thick and white pushing its way out of her mouth. Nicholas dropped her wrist. He parted her lips and teeth. The gooey white substance billowed out of her mouth. Dough. Nicholas checked her nose. Thick white dough filled it too. Someone had stuffed Betsy's nose and mouth with dough and left her by the stove with her hands tied behind her back. As the dough rose, she suffocated. This is how serial killers on the Great British Bake Off kill people. At the funeral, Jason says that they should be burying Nicholas, not his cousin. Jason warned Betsy not to get close to Nicholas, and he believes that Nicholas killed Betsy. Jason threw the rock at Nicholas, and, since Betsy is a good, that makes Jason a good also. Mr. Manning is also found dead. Ruth says that her father wanted her to marry Nicholas if anything happened to him, so he reluctantly agrees to marry her, just to help her during her grieving. He figures out that since Jason is a good, thinks he killed Betsy, and Mr. Manning liked Nicholas, Jason must have killed Mr. Manning. It gets violent when he goes to confront Jason, but Ruth appears and stabs Jason in the throat. She reveals that if Nicholas doesn't marry her, then she will tell everyone that Nicholas killed Justin, and no one would believe a stranger and a Fear over the daughter of a beloved local businessman. Ruth also reveals that she killed Betsy to get her out of the way, and killed her father to force Nicholas to marry her. He gets married to her, but plans to poison her at the wedding. However, Rosalind, remember her, shows up at his house and sees Ruth wearing the amulet that Rosalind gave Nicholas. Ruth poisons Rosalind with the poison drink that Nicholas was going to give Ruth. It ends with Nicholas resigned to being with Ruth. "Together, we shall make Fear Street all it was meant to be," Ruth vowed. She ran her fingers over the words engraved in the back of the amulet, "Power through evil." Nicholas gazed over at the remains of the Fear Mansion. Yes, he thought, soon everyone will know the name of Fear Street. See, kids? If you're evil, you can make your dreams come true. This is a fun book, even if it is ridiculous. It's a promising start to a seminal series in my life. It even has a perfect horror movie ending, opening up the path for many, many sequels. The nonsensical plot and Deus Ex Machina plot devices may make some roll their eyes, but I can't help but love the melodrama, the reveals on reveals, and most of all, the outrageous character deaths.